In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text is what I just read you, all of John chapter 9. But in point of fact, I'm also going to be talking about another miracle, which is Jesus' resurrection. The problem is, it'd be impossible for me to read all of the accounts of his resurrection and everything that happened afterwards. So I thought, I'm just going to read you this account of healing this blind man, and then the resurrection we'll just talk about. I'm assuming you know enough about that, we can just do that, okay? But what we're dealing tonight with is skeptics and with faith when it comes to miracles. Miracles, anytime anybody does a miracle, you understand, it's always going to produce skeptics. There's always going to be people that are not going to believe it. And I think all of you, if you were to be honest with me, have been skeptics at times, right? There are certain miracles in the Bible that just by their very nature make us skeptical about them. I mean, maybe the one we did last week would be like that for you. You say, really, God talked through a donkey, through Balaam's donkey? That's kind of crazy. Or maybe like Jonah. Jonah bothers a lot that he lived inside of a fish. Or maybe the one we'll deal with next week, the fact that Mary had a, conceived and had a baby with no earthly father. I mean, how many people have been, books have been written trying to explain that, right, with some ulterior motive. So that brings out a lot of skeptics as well. But what we're trying to say tonight is that's okay. It's okay to be a little skeptical, because the wonderful thing about the miracles in the Bible is that they had skeptics, and they very often held up to a lot of scrutiny. So one of the most scrutinized miracles that we have, it's why I read it tonight, is this healing of the blind man, John chapter 9. And this is one that really should be, and I don't know, I think maybe because we've read the Bible and heard the Bible so much, we're so used to blind receiving sight, we don't stop to think that is a huge miracle. And before this man, no one ever in the history of the world that had been born blind had received their sight back. That's a miracle you're not going to find in the Old Testament, no matter where you look. So this is a very, very rare kind of miracle. And it's still rare today. How many people that have been born blind are able to get their sight back? Now, we pray someday maybe medicine will advance that far that they can. But this is still a huge miracle. So it needs some scrutiny, okay? And that's exactly what they give. Now, very often you will hear about miracles in the Bible, you'll hear this line. They'll say, well, they weren't very smart back then in the first century, okay? And basically, if they knew then what we know today, they wouldn't have believed any of these miracles. And this is a really common line. If they had all the advances that we have in science and in medicine and so forth, then they could have much easier shown these miracles to be fake. And I want you to understand that argument is completely ridiculous. It is a ridiculous argument. We should not give it the time of day. Because that would only be true, of course, if the miracles were actually fake. Then they would have disproved them. And the fact is, they were not dumb people. Okay? They absolutely were smart enough to be able to test whether a miracle was really a miracle or whether it was fake. And if you need any proof of this, there were all kinds of miracle workers in those days. And everybody kind of knew many of them were fakes. But there's this one guy that's different from all these other miracle workers. And so they used the best knowledge they had available to them at the time, and they would test if his miracle really was a true miracle. And just think about this, that somebody 500 years ago may say about us, well, if they knew then what we know now, they wouldn't believe any of these miracles in the Bible. So this is really kind of a just not a good argument. They tested this miracle in John chapter 9, and that's why we read the whole thing. The first test, they thought it must be mistaken identity. And that's the kind of one they go with first. Well, okay, this guy is saying he is seeing now, but it's not the same guy that used to sit and beg. So that's the first thing they're going to kind of go after. This is a fake miracle because it's not the same guy. This is all a big hoax, okay? So two times they do this. First time, the general populace goes to him and questions him, are you really the guy? And he's like, yeah, I'm the guy. I'm telling you, I'm the guy that used to sit there and beg. But that's not enough. Then they bring him to the authorities, you might say, okay, to the Jewish authorities, the Pharisees, and they question him. And the basic premise here is he must be crazy. It's no way it's the same guy. So to further make sure this really is the same guy, then they call in the parents, you see. Right? They are using just what we would use today, common evidence, to try and figure out, was this really a miracle? So the parents come in. Is this really your son? Now they're scared of the Jews. They don't want to say anything about Jesus. But this much they'll say: yes, this is our son, and yes, he was absolutely born blind. So that's out of the water, okay? We're done. This is definitely the same guy. So now they take another tack. They bring in the blind man again, and they push him. You know, this is like put the lights on him, interrogate him. So they say, right, how did he really give you sight, right? And they preface it with, you better give glory to God, right? You better tell us the truth. So they're threatening him. It must be some kind of trick, right? There must be some trick that he did. But the blind man stands strong, right? His witness is true. I've told you guys. The problem is you won't listen to me. I was blind from birth, and he gave me my sight. Then finally, when they can't break him, then, and this is a common thing today, right? If you can't prove that it wasn't a miracle, then you question the character. So they question the character of Jesus. First of all, oh, he must be a sinner. He did this on the Sabbath day, so we're not even going to listen to him. And then they question the character of the blind man. They say, well, you've been a sinner since the moment you were born. That's why you were born blind. So we can't possibly listen to you either. And so they kick him out of the synagogue. So you see, they go, I mean, basically, all along this way, they can't find any legitimate evidence to show that this was not a true miracle. If they had it, then they would have used it, but they can't find anything. And this is your key point for tonight. The issue is not the evidence. It's never the evidence, okay? The issue with miracles is their predetermined unbelief. They determine beforehand that we will not believe in him. That's what the Pharisees say. No matter what, we are never going to believe in this guy. And this is not something I'm making up, because I've read enough books to hear that many atheists will say this right up front. They'll tell you this. That they will say, even if you had all the evidence in the world, they still wouldn't believe. Because why? Because they don't like him. They don't like the God of the Bible. They don't like the whole story, and they would never believe in it. So you always want to kind of keep this in mind, right? Well, sometimes we think this: if only God would do a big miracle today, you know, something big where everybody would see him, then everybody would believe in him. But you just have to remember, that never happened. It never happened that way in the scriptures, right? I can give you all kinds of examples. The feeding of the 5,000, right? There were all these people there that saw this incredible miracle, but by the end of John chapter 6, they've all left. They've all left except the disciples, because they didn't like it. They didn't like what he was saying. You know, that's where he says all the stuff about unless someone eats the flesh of the Son of Man and drinks his blood, he has no life in him. And they all say, yeah, I'm out, right? They don't like it. Doesn't matter that he just did a miracle. Or after he raises Lazarus from the dead and the whole city of Jerusalem hears about it, what do they say? We've got to kill him, right? The miracle didn't matter. They'd already determined they wouldn't believe in him. Or after he casts out demons, what do they say? Well, he's just casting them out by the power of the devil. That's what he's doing, right? Seeing a miracle, in other words, is never going to be a guarantee of faith, because quite simply, many times people have already decided they're not going to believe no matter what evidence is given. And the key is, you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man goes to hell, and he says up into heaven to Abraham, please send somebody to my brothers so they'll believe. If they see somebody risen from the dead, they'll believe. And Abraham says, no, they won't. If they don't believe what's written in the scriptures, they won't believe even if I send somebody from the dead. And that is a key point. Now, there is no bigger miracle in the scriptures, and you already know this. There's no bigger miracle that stands up to scrutiny than the most important miracle, Jesus' resurrection from the dead. For 2,000 years, people have tried to disprove that he rose from the dead, and it simply cannot be falsified. And this is a topic we could talk about all night, but I just want to give you the real quick basics of it. Remember that from the very beginning, the enemies of Jesus were claiming the disciples stole the body. That was their first line, right? They told Pilate, you got to set a guard because we know this disciple is going to steal that body because he said he'd rise from the dead. Well, that would be a good theory that the disciples stole Jesus' body. But the problem is, it would have been incredibly easy to prove it. Very easy, okay? It's, again, you have to remember, it's not like they're all ignorant in the first century. They can be very good detectives, and this wouldn't have been very hard detective work. So they could have gone to the guards. Did you see the disciples steal the body, right? Is there any evidence here at the tomb that someone came and stole it? Or if the guards hadn't seen it, remember, it's Passover time. There are people everywhere. Somebody would have seen something, especially since so many people saw his crucifixion on Friday evening. So somebody would have seen something. And let's say even nobody saw it. It would not have been hard at all to conduct a search and find the body if his body, in fact, had not been raised from the dead, if it had been stolen. But never could they produce the body. Secondly, you have all the overwhelming evidence of the witnesses who saw him alive. And this wasn't like hundreds of years later they said, oh, Jesus really did rise from the dead. It's immediately. Immediately they're claiming that he's risen and they're writing about it. They saw him alive many times. They saw the nail marks, his hands and feet. They saw the wound from the spear. And then they staked their very lives on it, many of them dying for this one truth, that he had risen from the dead. Right? The evidence for this biggest miracle is just too good. So finally, I give you one other thing to think about. If you go online, okay, and I bet some of you have seen these. There have been a number of documentaries that have been made where they go find these claimed miracle workers, and they will like do a documentary showing how these guys are all, it's all made up, right? All these miracles are falsified and everything. And it's pretty cool if you've ever watched them. They're on YouTube. You can watch them. But it's very easy to prove that these so-called miracle workers are just really frauds. So keeping that in mind, right, again, I'd remind you, these were not just dumb, gullible country folk, you know, in the first century, like they were just clueless. They were intelligent enough to see if someone was a true miracle worker or a fraud. And time after time after time, they saw Jesus was a different miracle worker. Actually, the things he was doing were miraculous. There's always going to be skeptics. But Jesus, remember, he doesn't mind. He does not mind his miracles being tested. He didn't mind when the Pharisees were testing about the man born blind. And in fact, Jesus loves it because he comes back to the man who was blind, who, remember, has never seen Jesus because he was blind when Jesus did it. And he goes to him and says, what do you say? Do you believe? Yes, I do believe. Jesus does not mind being tested because, of course, his work and his miracle is all true. And for us, we praise God that God has worked in our hearts through the power of his word. Remember, not through just miracles, but through the power of his word so that we believe. He has opened our eyes to the truth. And then we can say with confidence, yes, God's miracles are true. They were tested. They were found to be reliable. And the one who worked those miracles is the same one who still works today on me in his word and in his sacraments. And then we can say, like Luther says in his catechism, this is most certainly true. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.